Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to think about it. It's right here. It is right now. How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Hey, buddy. Doing good.
Hey, buddy. doing good.
I'm just trying to make sure everything was turned on right. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm doing great.
Doing great.
Yeah. Hit that Peloton. Got a good sweat in. Feeling good. Saw my guy, Eric down there, dropped off the food. First time I met him, Nukes.
He's a big fan of the show.
Yes.
Man.
So first time I got to meet him. So shout out to him.
Great.
And just ready to rock and roll today and have some fun.
Love it.
You doing good?
I'm doing terrific. We got a lot going on here. Have a really fun show planned. So much to discuss and talk about. It's a beautiful day here in the Mile High City and lucky to come in and
work with me.
And chat with you a little bit. Although,
yes.
I will say this.
You're blessed. You're blessed, brother.
Hashtag blessed. I will say this. How about this guy, Orlando Franklin? Like, driving shows. It's just so dynamic.
I mean, the more you can do.
And I came in here and I said, that's driver O right there. That's what we call behind the scenes, that this guy who sits in this chair kind of drives the show, right? Stokes just the passenger along for the joyride. I keep this thing on the track.
Very true. I can't argue that. I say yes.
And Stokes said, hey, man, me and Orlando's the driver. You know, we could have our own show.
Magic, baby, just making magic.
Yeah.
And you, just like old times.
Yep. And I said, that has midnight to two written all over it.
That was unnecessary. I think we could do big things.
Oh, my goodness.
Be a crazy show. Be a little bit probably not very organized show.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
I like CJ Part 2.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to CJ come in here. Holy moly. You talk about a disjointed hours.
We gave the people what they wanted. The people loved it.
Yes.
They wanted you out of town. I have a bunch of the RamosLaw.com texts. They wanted you out of town. Bring CJ back.
CJ doing a show together. It's like taking a puzzle out of the box, just throwing it on the table.
Yeah.
And just there you go.
It takes talent to do what we do.
Oh, goodness. We have so much to discuss. You know, the biggest story in sports in the last 24 hours is Carl Nassib being the first active NFL player to come out as gay. We've been talking about Carl Nassib for a couple of years now.
Carl. Remember Greg Williams?
Of course.
Who calls it? Didn't he? That's what he said,
yeah,
right?
Like, who names their kid Carl?
Yes.
Like, yeah, Carl started like mocking him. And I thought it was, first of all, I didn't think that was very funny from Greg. Sounds like he was just like trying to, you know, it just wasn't very funny, trying hard. But Carl Nassib was one of the stars of Hard Knocks
from
2 or 3 years ago.
With the Browns,
right?
Yes.
He got up on the whiteboard and did the financial breakdown for the guys.
That's right. He was funny.
He was, man. He was. And is. And we were both fans. And, you know, it was kind of out of nowhere. But I'll ask you first. Just a quick thought on the news that broke yesterday was on the front page of every athletic website and even non sporting outlets.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, we've known. I mean, they've done the research and said that like every team has probably one guy that is gay,
right?
But just is not open about it, right? And so you kind of knew that you probably were teammates with. And it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, that's where we're at today. I mean, it's say kudos to him. I mean, because that does take courage.
For sure.
So applaud him for taking that step because that's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, was it Michael Sam?
Missouri?
Yeah.
SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
He was brought into the Rams camp, I believe, and he got cut. So he wasn't on a I don't think he ever made a roster. But he was, you know, kind of the first guy. And he got drafted. I think he got drafted late. But kudos to Carl Nassib for having the strength and to make that next step. And it's a first. And hopefully, you know, like we've seen a lot of people say that, you know, hopefully it shouldn't be a huge story every time.
Right.
I mean, this is kind of the world that we live in.
Yeah. Well said. I could imagine the courage that it takes you to use that word, courage. You know, locker rooms are a unique breed. If you ever really been in a locker room for an extended period of time, but among all the locker rooms, I would imagine a football locker room profiles to be the most uphill battle, in terms of, you know, stigma or reputation and things like that. The temperature of those rooms, those 32 rooms, or in college for sure as well.
Have so many guys too, right? I mean, it's like it's football, but you have 50, you know, three guys on the roster, plus you have practice squads. So you're talking about a big group.
Sure.
You're not talking about 10 or 12 or 15 or 18. You know, it's a lot of people in there.
Yeah. This is Carl Nassib. This is the way he announced it. I have to say, like, the way that he sort of casually did it, it wasn't like a press conference or, you know, something maybe more elaborate. It was just him talking to his phone on Instagram. Check this out.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate, and I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America, and they're truly doing incredible things, and I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can, and I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day.
Love it. Great. Good for him. Courage.
Yeah.
All that stuff, and he deserves some of the, you know, welcoming slash congratulatory tone that he's getting. A last question on this one, Stoke. When he goes back to the locker room, as his face is being shown right now on the big screen here in our American Financing Studios, he goes back in the locker room, and he's with Vegas. He's played for Cleveland, Tampa, putting together a really, really nice career, by the way.
Good player.
He is a good player. When he goes back in that locker room, how do you think he'll be received?
With open arms. I think, you know, views have changed, times have changed. You know, locker rooms have changed throughout the years, you know, from 50 years ago to even, you know, when I came in 20 years ago in 99 to where we're at now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot more open and receptive for different views, and which I think is great. I think it's great. And so I think he's going to have no issue at all. I don't think there'll be a problem at all. I think it's going to be just fine.
All right. Carl Nassib making some history. A big tip of the cap to the courage that took from him yesterday. More NFL news and of a different variety, a knucklehead variety. Frank Clark. What are we doing here?
Uzi? He had an Uzi. Uzi in a bag in the back seat.
Kansas City Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark arrested in Los Angeles after police saw a submachine gun in his car. This is a young man. He's 28 years old. He was pulled over for a vehicle violation south of downtown L.A. about 9 o'clock on Sunday night. Los Angeles Police Department public information officer Tony Iam said that officers simply just noticed a bag with an Uzi sticking out of it in plain sight. That's the word from the public information officer. The Uzi sticking out in plain sight. It's a banana clip might do that. Clark was then arrested on suspicion of having a concealed firearm in the vehicle. He was booked into Los Angeles County Jail. He was released yesterday afternoon, $35,000 bond. Clark's attorney, Alex Spiro, said the gun...
Wasn't his?
Said the gun belonged to Clark's bodyguard.
Oh.
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
That's the first time I heard that one.
Well, we loaded it.
Yes. Oh, really? I love it. Yes. New one
if
to
y'all
the repertoire.
Got a crew, you got to have a fall guy
Chris
in
Carter.
The crew.
Chris Carter talking to the rookies at the NFL symposium that the NFL put on for him to educate him. Yes. And that's what Chris Carter educated him with.
While he's wearing his gold jacket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Bringing
perfect.
Up Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, who was then a rookie.
Really?
He's talking to young Teddy Bridgewater, wow. And he uses him as an example and gives that advice.
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in your crew.
Hey, how do you become the fall guy? You're just like, hey, we'll let you in. You can hang with us. But just so you know, if something goes down, you're taking the fall for it. I mean, is it just known?
I think understood as a sign of loyalty. I'm rocking with you. I'm probably taken care of in every regard in my life right now.
But that's probably, you got probably four or five, right? I mean, you're not just one guy. So you got four or five guys. How do you determine which guy is going to be the guy that has to do the time?
Guy that probably has,
last man in.
Yeah, maybe.
Last man in.
Maybe.
Hey, you're welcome, but just, look, you can hang, but when stuff goes down, you're going to be the guy that has to take the fall for everyone. Are you good?
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Thank you, Chris.
It's unbelievable.
But that was his bodyguard.
Yes.
Uzi.
The Uzi.
Does a bodyguard need a Uzi?
Oh, my gosh. You can't make this stuff up, man.
And he got popped a few months ago.
He did. It was like in March he got pulled over for not driving right. Don't know what the violation was. And they just discovered a gun in the car.
A couple guns, I think.
Couple guns.
I mean, just...
You gotta be, like, seriously.
I don't... Look. A lot of people carry guns. I'm from the South. It's just, you know, everybody has a gun down there pretty much. I mean, so that's... But you have to store it in the right place. You have to have it, you know, properly registered. All these different things, right? And... You can't just have Uzis just laying in the back seat of your car. You just can't do it.
So dumb.
And then that's after you got popped a few months ago.
Just
you have
a
to
few
be
months
on
ago.
The up and up.
Yeah.
I don't get how you people are just like, whatever, I'm just gonna keep doing me. Not good. Not good for Frank Clark. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, he great career so far, but his time in Kansas City has been what they expected it to be when they traded for him. He was a star in Seattle, and Seattle, what was it, like right before the fifth-year option, or they picked it up and then traded him or something like that? I forget exactly how it went
down. The Chiefs traded D4 to the 49ers, and they traded for Frank Clark all in the same year. But, yeah, it was something like that. Right before he was going to get paid, the Seahawks just cut bait and traded him.
Yeah. Maybe they knew something that Kansas City is finding out.
Yeah.
You know, because on paper, it's like, why would you trade Frank Clark? He is an all-world player. All-pro, not living up to the expectations in Kansas City. Who knows what is next with this one, but I can damn near promise you that he will not be starting this NFL season. There's consequences coming his way.
Yeah, you think so?
This is twice now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there should be. I don't know. But once again, I don't know rhyme or reason why they do some punishments and don't do other punishments. Why do some guys get punished and some guys don't? You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And it seems like some guys just kind of slip through the cracks and are, you know, just Teflon whatever to steal a Marillat line. And some guys just, you know, the heavy hand just they get it.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see. But, I mean, two times in a few months, you probably... A game or two suspension, I'm sure. Something like that.
I would imagine. But then we sat here a couple of years ago and said, well, of course, Aqib Talib's not going to start the season with the Broncos, you know, carrying around a loaded gun, shoots himself, you know, but he literally zero consequence.
Nothing.
Zero. So, but I don't know. This is multiple offenses. This is, you know, this is a submachine gun, okay? That's just open, hanging out in the car. So twice in one offseason, not good for Frank Clark. In other knucklehead news, wide receiver Antonio Brown's probation was terminated a year early, Stoke, and his criminal matter related to his battery case was finalized. Now, this was the one with the moving truck and the moving company. There's a handful of bullet points on Antonio Brown's record at this point. Remember, he like assaulted the like the kiosk like into the neighborhood that like lets the gates open. He like vandalized that.
Could you imagine having him in your neighborhood?
No,
bad neighbor.
Oh my gosh!
Right? You're just like, oh, moving to a nice house and you got this guy just acting crazy.
Acting crazy.
Cops there every other day.
Cops there.
He's yelling at the cops.
He's
in front
recording
of his kids.
The police.
Yeah. I mean,
vandalizing the what do they call that little station?
The station?
Pulling into the neighborhood.
I don't think it's a kiosk. I think a kiosk is like what you sell out of.
Yeah, I'm
trying. Right in the mall.
But I'm thinking like a little island. That's why I say kiosk, like a little island of sort. What do they call that thing when someone pulls into your community?
I don't like that tone of voice that you just switched to right there. I'm just telling you. All of a sudden you sweat. Zach, if I knew what they called the darn thing, I would have told you. I don't know what the darn thing is called. Well, I would have told you.
Well,
it's not a kiosk, though. I can promise you that. It's not a kiosk. Those are at the mall, and they're selling you lotions and perfumes and, you know.
Watches and stuff.
Yeah, you know, the phone cases and all that stuff, right?
Screen protectors.
Yes. You got to get one of those, though. You have to have a screen protector.
Yeah.
Do you have a screen protector?
I do, and just it's so banged up. It fought the good fight for a while, but there's some spidering going on in there.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown.
What is it called? Help us out.
Yeah, that little island on the way into a community. Apparently, they pissed off Antonio one time, and he you know, messed it all up. He also threw the chair out of the high rise that could have killed someone, and the grandfather and the grandson, like a couple feet away. You can't make it up.
No.
Like, pianos coming out of Antonio Brown's apartment.
Guard shack.
Guard shack, there we go.
How about that?
Perfect.
There we go.
That
Thank
works.
You. Got a couple there, 720-314 and the 303.
Relating to the one where he assaulted the mover and the moving company, his probation that was supposed to be 2 years has been sliced down to 1 year. Don't know why. Statement from his lawyer, Sean Burstyn, said, quote, in a further demonstration of Antonio Brown's hard work and great progress since his NFL suspension, we are very pleased he has completed his probation a full year ahead of schedule.
Wow.
We see nothing but blue sky for Antonio.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Give me a break. That's all I can really say. It's laughable.
Keep your head up, baby, like your nose bleeding.
But you do it blue sky.
That's right.
Look up and keep your
head
up.
That's right. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure he's on his best behavior now. And, you know, once this Bucks thing ends, you'll probably be hearing about when his football career is over.
Yeah.
You'll be hearing about him.
Yeah,
he's not just going to all of a sudden change.
Yeah. And this is a guy who loves the attention.
Yeah.
In football, you get it naturally. And when that lens goes away, I'm not being funny anymore. Like, I'm legitimately scared what headline's going to pop up one morning. You know, relating to Antonio Brown, was there 3 years after his career, 5 years? I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I hope I'm wrong. But there's enough sample size of instability.
You don't have the structure, when you don't have the day-to-day, you know, he knows he got humbled. All of a sudden, you know, no job, and he got humbled, and that structure got taken away from him, and look how he responded.
Yeah.
So when the structure of football and the daily routine, you know, that's the hard part for players when they get out of it. It's like you had a routine that was there for you every single day. You knew what you had to do, even in the off season, and that's gone. It's hard to deal with. It's a tough thing to do, to find some kind of purpose and routine again. And well, we saw a little bit of it, but yeah, I'm thinking it's not going to be good when football's over for that guy.
Did you have some elements of trying to find? Trying to find your way / struggles of like feeling like you're, you know, lost, nothing's really on the schedule. And I don't know if that was true or not, but did you go through any of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly. It's it's tough. I mean, you like I said, I mean, I played for 15 years, and every day was kind of structured. And,
yeah.
you know, anything that you needed, you just call up the trainer, you call up the equipment guy. I mean, very easy, boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're mid-30s, and you're like, okay, what do I do now? What do I do now? Want to take some time off?
Yeah.
And then you got to figure out your next step. I mean, you know, not working sounds great, but you can get lost quick.
Yeah.
I mean, golf is fun. I love golf, but when you play it every day, it's not as much fun.
Right.
You know, it's right. just like you just go out there and it's not, you don't enjoy it as much. So things like that. So, it's a tough transition. It really is. And it's not like a, you know, there's tougher things in life. I mean, people are probably listening Stokely.
No, but you're only walking in your shoes.
Yeah. But it's a tough transition. It is because all of a sudden, you know, I'm mid-30s, and I got to figure out what I want to do the rest of my life. I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
So
and that NFL career is on the heels of a full, you know, college career.
Right.
And before that, you're trying to get there to that level.
And when do you usually start a career? Mid-30s, late-30s. I mean, that usually doesn't happen. You know, usually people are in their prime, and now you're looking to just start over, and you're starting from the bottom somewhere.
Right. Well, luckily for
you. Start from the bottom.
Yeah,
luckily now I'm
here. That's right.
Sitting
next to me.
There we go.
Saved your life.
Blessed.
They saved your life.
Man, where would I be without Zach By?
Someone.
Well, actually, I started with Sandy, then I went to CJ, and then I went. So you weren't the first.
And that's why you said started from the bottom. Now you're here. Someone is offering to be your fall guy.
Stuff. Oh, yeah, my fall guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
273 said, I'll be your fall guy as long as Zach's not in the entourage.
Look, I don't need a fall guy. I don't need a fall guy. At least I don't think I do. Not right now, anyway. I'll save your number. I'll save your number. You never know how things are going to change from day to day, but I'll save your number.
Oh, Lordy. I still can't believe all these years later he said that. As a grown man that's supposed to have perspective, sharing wisdom, that's literally why you were there. The function of your presence with those young men was to share wisdom about mistakes that you made, and you chose to say,
if y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Like you said, how do you say that? I mean, you're trying to educate these young men that, you know, all come from a lot of different backgrounds, and they're going to be put in a lot of different situations, and that's what you tell them?
Crazy.
That's what you tell them?
Crazy.
Crazy. Wow.
All right, the fan store is at it again. Check out the new Complicated Fella limited edition T-shirt in both Denver and Green Bay colors. It's available now at denverfan.com/store. And while you're there, you can pick up a Stokely and Zach Fan Jam T-shirt if you're feeling frisky. Again, that is the denverfan.com/store. All right. Moving on here, good start. If you want to react to anything that we spoke about, you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Any day now, we'll be hearing which NFL team will be selected to host Hard Knocks.
Oh, that's right. Is it going to be two? Do we know?
I think it's just one.
Just one?
I think it's just one.
I like the two, but I always start and I never finish. Maybe that's why my wife doesn't like watch shows with me. I never finish. I don't know.
There's a lot of low hanging fruit there. I'm just gonna let it go.
Okay.
Any day now.
Have fun. Let's go.
We'll be hearing which NFL team will be selected to host Hard Knocks. What do the Broncos have that no other candidate on the short list has? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
From standing on the corners popping to driving some of the hottest cars New Yorkers ever seen, for dropping some of the hottest verses rappers ever heard.
Brandon Stokely, we shift gears here a little bit. Any day now, we're going to hear which NFL team will be selected to host Hard Knocks. Oh, I see what you did there, John.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good one. I didn't follow that either.
What do the Broncos have that no other candidate on the short list has?
Do you have the candidates?
I do.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, now?
Always prepared.
That. You remember a couple of them?
Let me think.
Well, here's the requirements. Let me give you the requirements first, because that might help in guessing.
It won't help. I kind of know the requirements, like playoffs, miss, this.
Let me just remind our audience.
Okay.
No teams who are in the playoffs in the last two seasons. No team with a first-year head coach. No teams which have been featured on Hard Knocks in the last 10 years. We can hear you when you sip like that close to the microphone.
I turned away, sorry. I'll take that one. Usually that's you. I thought it was a good time to take a sip of coffee because I pretty much know the requirements. No clue. No clue.
Okay.
No clue. Look, Broncos are one of them, right?
Broncos are one of them. There's five.
Or the... What about the Texans? Are they one of them?
No.
I just...
First-year head coach.
That's right.
Yeah, Cully, right?
Yep. Cross them off the list. That's a good call there. How about the... what about the Panthers?
Bingo.
Okay.
There's one.
Who else could be? Just go ahead.
The Panthers, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Denver Broncos.
Cowboys haven't made the playoffs in the last 2 years?
No.
Wow.
This past year, right? It was
a disaster, but I thought they made it 2 years ago, and they didn't.
No, they didn't. It was the year before that they won a game in the playoffs, but in the 2019 season, I forget who they beat. Who did Dallas beat? Was it maybe New Orleans? I forget. They were 8-8 2 years ago, and this past year, injury riddled, the wheels come off with Dak, and they're playing a guy named, you know, Mooch, the next thing you know. Dallas qualifies. Now, Dallas has already been featured twice on Hard Knocks, but it was more than 10 years ago.
Ah, gotcha. Jerry loves it. Wouldn't Jerry? I mean.
Dallas beat the Seahawks in 2019. House clean. On the spot, though.
There we go. Jerry loves the attention.
He really does.
And it's only one team. I think it's hard for the Broncos to win this thing. It would be cool for us. I think it's, you know, the owner, Jerry Jones, somebody like him loves it. You know, it's attention, the brand, players. I think players, you know, I was involved with one of them. They first won, right?
Yeah, first ever won.
It was fine. It wasn't a distraction or anything. Coaches, I think, hate it. You know, they're up in your business. Coaches don't want, you know, that stuff on film.
Yep.
They don't want people, you know, around, any distractions, et cetera, et cetera. They usually hate it, usually. Some are open and receptive to it, but it would be cool if it was the Broncos, but I don't know how the Broncos beat out the Cowboys as far as, you know, if you're HBO and you're trying to look for who do you want to put out there. You got Dak Prescott, and you know, at the forefront, and obviously a lot of attention on him.
Return from injury stories.
Yes. That's going to move the needle a whole lot more than Drew and Teddy, right?
So
you think?
Yes, like over the top. Yes, if HBO has their way, and I think if the NFL has their way,
yeah,
because for that period of time, Hard Knocks in some ways is like the front porch of the NFL. They're the team that's getting this big old spotlight shined on them. So I think if both parties could have their way, but from what I understand, the teams can decline. And if you go through and get nothing but decline, then the league can force you to.
Oh, okay.
But I believe, you know, if Dallas says, hey, we're willing to have Hard Knocks, and that could be as simply as Jerry saying, we're having Hard Knocks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's all that matters.
If they're willing to do it, this is, you know, unanimous. This is America's team. They continue to be the highest draw on television.
Open and shut, closed.
But if they say no, it does open the door for some other teams. And what I said that the Broncos have that these other teams don't have from a television standpoint and from a storyline standpoint is a quarterback competition.
Yeah. But it's not polarizing.
No.
Zach.
No, it's not.
I mean, it doesn't move the needle anywhere else but here. You know, we're going to be intrigued by it. Everyone else around the country could care less. They don't care. It doesn't move the needle at all. I mean, I think it might turn people away. Like, oh, we got to watch who? Teddy and Drew? No, no, thank you. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be funny. It doesn't move the needle, though. I mean, do you agree with that? Zero.
I agree with right now you saying that on paper, but when Hard Knocks is about to start and you're on the doorstep of the NFL football season and they're in Broncos training camp and they make it interesting. They made the Joe Philbin's Miami Dolphins interesting. So I think it's interesting because it's just behind the scenes. It, you know, brings you inside.
It's interesting because
ultimately you're right.
You're saying it's interesting because it brings you behind the scenes of an NFL football team.
It's Hard Knocks.
Right. So that's everywhere. So that's basically was your reasoning on.
But I think it does add another layer. If it was just Broncos training camp with Teddy Bridgewater as the starter coming in,
sure.
I just think it's way less appetizing from a recurring theme. Like these two guys are going head to head in a quarterback battle.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you're right about that. I mean, it's obviously more of a draw than what it would be if it was just Drew or just Teddy.
Yeah.
And you can hype it up, certainly, if your Hard Knocks is one of the big storylines of a young football team with a lot of talent that trying to, you know, come out of the basement and win again, and now they got this quarterback competition. So, yeah. Who do you think the Broncos would volunteer? Like, if it said, okay, here's our list. Cowboys, oh, Jerry said no. He doesn't want any more distractions this year. They got to get stuff right this year. And then they come, let's say, to the Broncos. You know, after the Cowboys, I think it's kind of a free-for-all. Who were the other teams? Sorry.
It was the Panthers, the Cardinals, and the Giants.
Okay, let's just say they come to the Broncos, okay, for fun here. And, you know, they call up and say, hey, we would love it to be the Denver Broncos. What do you think? Yes or no?
I think they would absolutely love to be featured on Hard Knocks because nowadays, especially, you have a bit of creative control. Okay, it's not quite like it used to be. It's a little bit more edited. I think that in large part, they try to tell stories that are there's going to be negative stuff. Guys are going to get cut. That's an annual thing.
Right.
But they try to highlight positive stories.
Young players, you know.
Young players. They'll go to Wiggins. They'll do the whole thing. They'll, you know, there's.
Oh, they'll be camped out at Wiggins.
Oh, yeah. And I think if you're the Broncos, they have fallen on the hardest of times in their NFL's history. They are not in the consciousness of everyday NFL football fans. And, you know, when we just played the audio for you last week talking about most underrated, and I forget who it was. Was it? I think maybe Daniel Jeremiah was like, you know, no one talks about this team, but the Broncos.
Yeah.
And, like, you when you lead with that. That's not good for the Broncos. So in some ways, HBO, in conjunction with the league, would be doing a commercial for the Broncos. Like, you're the star of your own show, and they're hitting the reset button here in Denver. Look, the Broncos are putting up Hard Knock-esque videos of their own, out of their own social media department, behind the scenes in the war room, following
Jordan. Well, every team does that now. Every team does that.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. They're following George Payton at 4:30 in the morning. That feels like a Hard Knocks move.
Yeah.
Right? Tyrod Taylor, he gets there at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
You know, this is what Baker, you need to do. Like,
yes.
It feels like a Hard Knocks-esque thing, so they're already doing it. I think they would absolutely jump at the opportunity. What do you think?
I agree. I think Vic might not want to do it, because once again, like, what does that mean for Vic?
Probably go back home with them, do the meatball stuff.
Yeah, you know, McVay was out there. You know, they had Anthony Lynn grilling. They had McVay in the pool.
So I all the meatballs and the pasta.
There
you know?
We go.
You
got
can
his
see
wine.
Doing
He's
the resume.
Wine.
Oh,
yeah. Making up a big pasta. Yeah, I like that. But I don't think Vic would love it. He's old school. He is fighting for his job. The least amount of distractions, the better for him. Right? Mm-hmm, I mean, let's just plow forward, guys. Keep our head down. We don't need all this attention. We don't need cameras. We don't need any of this. So I think if Vic had a vote, it would be no. But I think if it came from above Vic, you're right. I mean, that sells. That's you look at attention. You look at dollars. I mean, it's not going to hurt your brand. I mean, it's only going to help your brand if you're the Denver Broncos. So if you're Joe Ellis and company, you look at it and you probably say, yeah, this would be good for us.
Someone says, if the Broncos only got one primetime game, what would make you believe that the league wants them on Hard Knocks?
Very, very, very
good
point.
That's a great text. Travis in Phoenix.
See you out there in Phoenix. They got the game tonight?
You see Suns and Four guy. Tell him we said hello.
Yeah.
By the way, the other guy.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Bro, no, we can't do this. No. We're not going to do this right now.
Just stay off camera, dude. Just stay off camera,
We're too close. No. We're too close.
I'm just saying, just stay off the camera.
Because we have new news. We have a bit of an update in that story.
Just don't do it, man.
The last 24 hours.
Just don't do it.
Last thought.
Off the camera.
Last thought on the Hard Knocks thing. I want you to close your eyes over there right now.
All right. What's going on? I'm a little bit nervous.
These other teams turn down Hard Knocks.
Uh-huh.
The Broncos get Hard Knocks.
Right.
They're in the facility. They're covering the Teddy Bridgewater, First Drew Lock.
Yeah, okay. Battle.
But then the news breaks.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I know what news you're talking about.
Aaron Rodgers is coming to Denver.
Did Mark Slareth call us and tell us this? They're like, how does it break? Is that from Mark or who? Who breaks it?
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be something? That would be something. Yes, it would, Zach.
All right.
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
What thought or emotion? We will get back to Suns and Four guy who may be in a rematch here very shortly. Yes, we have an update on that.
Well, my money's going on Suns guy in four. I guarantee you that.
All right, we will circle back to
line on that thing.
We will circle back to it. What thought or emotion do you have as we view one of Colorado's brightest stars like a senior in his spring semester? I'll explain where we're going coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
What thought or emotion, could be either, could be both, do you have as we view one of Colorado's biggest stars like a senior in his spring semester?
Huh.
What's a senior in his spring semester when you hear that?
A senior in his spring semester, you're kind of looking back, knowing it's about to be over.
You're on it.
And you're moving on.
You're on it. You're on it. What do you think I'm talking about here?
I didn't really listen to the first part. So I was just kind of waiting for you to tell me, and then I would react to it.
I said, what thought or emotion do you have as we view one of Colorado's biggest stars, like a senior in a spring semester?
One of Colorado's biggest stars... are you talking about Von Miller?
No, but that's a good thought.
I thought it was,
that's,
yeah.
That's a good thought. Even more pressing than that, if Von Miller is in his senior year, this is spring semester of senior year.
John Elway?
That's a good one, too.
I mean, I just put out, you, whoever you have down better be really good. That's all I know.
You can view John in the same light as Von, as he's about to be a senior. His final year.
Right.
This is spring semester. This is the days are fleeting.
Okay. All right.
As in the days are more numbered than those two guys that you just mentioned.
Colorado.
ESPN went through each of the 30 Major League Baseball teams and identified one player that should be traded at the July 30th deadline. For the Rockies, there's only really one answer. Now you could say maybe John Gray, but of course it was Trevor Story. This is the end of the road here. This feels like the end of the road. These next few weeks, this is it. This is it.
When's the trade deadline?
July 30th.
Oof.
So about 5 weeks from now.
Yeah.
This is what ESPN said. He said, this isn't necessarily a this is tricky here. This isn't necessarily a fait accompli, which is like,
what? Huh?
Yeah.
Can you put it in your own words?
Well, I'm just reading what they wrote here.
Who would write that? Who would write that, first of all? Like, who would write that word?
Someone who is trying hard.
Trying too hard.
Trying to flex. A fait accompli is like if the decision has already been made and that the people who are involved don't know that the decision's been made and all there's left to do is react because it's a done deal. Okay?
I don't like that person already.
Okay.
I mean, why would you throw that word in there? There's a lot of other words that you could put with whatever meaning you want and not fait accompli.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But they said, this isn't necessarily a fait accompli. This is the Rockies. Remember, as the Rockies might hold out hope of signing, we can still hear you sipping the coffee.
I know. I was doing it, and I stopped, and I was like, oh, was that a little bit louder than I wanted it to be. And then you looked over here, and I knew I was busted.
This isn't necessarily a fait accompli. This is the Rockies, remember. As the Rockies might hold out hope of signing Story in free agency, or perhaps believe the compensation pick they would receive for losing him is of more value. That's assuming we still have the same compensation system in the next collective bargaining agreement for players of Story stature. Who knows how the shortstop frenzy will play out in the offseason, but Story will be in demand, and a return to the Rockies is unlikely. Trade him while you can, as unpleasant as it will be without both Nolan Arenado and Story.
Yep.
End quote.
Yep, I was on record saying that they should have traded both Nolan and Trevor before the season started, both of them. And obviously Nolan went, didn't like the deal, but I was thinking that you ought to move Trevor too. Like, what are we waiting for? We know it's going to happen. No, you're not going to re-sign him at the end of the year. So what's the point here? Let's move on from him now where we can get greater value than when we can in July or, getting a compensatory pick, whatever. So, yeah, it's the reality of the Colorado Rockies in 2021. It's a total rebuild, and it's kind of a starting over. And we're seeing some bright spots out there with some guys, and they're competing hard. They had a rough stretch, but they're competing hard. And there is some bright spots, but it's just time to get this thing going. The quicker you realize where you're at, the better off you'll be. And yes, it stinks to trade a guy like Trevor Story and all the things that he can do. But, you're doing what's best for the organization. What are you going to be with Trevor Story?
Yeah.
You just got to start this thing over.
Well, what's maybe even more sad than this specific conversation, and this is a sad one. Trevor's been a great Rocky. I mean, Trevor has been everything you hoped he could be when that guy comes into your organization. It's a guy that came in.
I don't know if sad's the right word. Disappointing. I'm not sad. I mean, I'm not sad if they trade Trevor Story. I'm disappointed that it came to this, but I don't feel the emotion sad. There's no sad in me. It stinks. I'm disappointed, but, I'm sad,
Okay.
What do you think? Bad word, or you still like sad? You're going to be sad? Like, you'll be sad?
A little. I mean, not like real life sad, like something like bad, like legitimately happened to me or someone that I know and love that'll be sad.
Right.
Like, well,
that's what sad
means. Pro sports sad.
Oh, well, then clarify that. Because sad.
Honestly, since we're having a pro sports conversation, I didn't think I needed to.
Yeah, you need to. You definitely need to clarify, what type of sadness you're going to be feeling.
I'd be pro sports sad.
Okay.
Trevor Story's played nearly 700 baseball games in a Rockies uniform dating back to 2016. And where I was going before you interrupted me is when I said it's a sad conversation because you said, this is just what the Colorado Rockies are in 2021. The sad part is that I think that this is just what the Colorado Rockies are for the foreseeable future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no...
Because, Story's going to go. There's not going to be no big signing coming in or something like that.
It takes more than one here. I mean, it's not like one signing is going to all of a sudden make the Rockies a contender. Yeah. I mean, that's the foreseeable future. And so, like, what are you doing holding on to one guy? It doesn't make much sense. Once you decided to trade Nolan, then it's a free-for-all, and it's time to just go down to the studs and build the thing back up, right? Once you decided to make that move, you were picking your lane, and you went all the way from the double yellows to all the way over there to the slow lane.
What was it created for? Mercy, right?
Yes, thank you, man.
What's the rule in driving in between a double yellow?
Right, you're not supposed to. You got to get over. Get over to the right. But that's what the Rockies, need to do. Like, just move all the way to the right. It's going to take some time. Let's try to do this thing the right way. Hanging on to Trevor Story, hanging on to, whoever else that can give you some kind of value is not going to help them in the long run. So it's time to just build it back up from the foundation. And you started that process when you traded Nolan.
Yeah.
Ah. Boo that man. You going to boo with me?
Oh, by the way, Stokely and I will be in attendance next Thursday, July 1st.
First.
Thursday night, Nolan Arenado's return to Coors Field.
Yeah.
Stokely and I will be there.
We will. Bearcat Jim.
Bearcat Jim.
Taking care of us.
Being very generous. We're going to be a
Bearcat speaker. Jim's generous.
He's the best.
He can be annoying sometimes, but he's very generous.
He's the best. And we'll be there together. It'll be the first time you and I are at the Rockies game together since opening day 2019. So
wow.
We got to take one of our obligatory pictures.
That's right.
We have them through the years, and that'll
and
be a lot of fun.
We both can boo him.
It'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds as we're standing next to each other.
Can't wait.
Let me get a video of it. All right. It's been a good offseason for George Payton, according to our senior Broncos writer, John Clayton. Why has it been so good for George? John will join us coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.